Our first reading for this second Sunday after the Pentecost is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter, and we read verses 1 through 9. God is speaking. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek. I said, here am I, here am I, to a nation that was not called by my name. Spread out my hands all the day to rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. People who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks. Who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob, and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess, my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, the third chapter, and we begin reading at verse 23. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, in prison until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. The same way we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. But if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading is from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning at verse 26. Glory to you, O Lord. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them. They were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." He went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson or your epistle lesson for today. And in particular, these words. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. To those words from our epistle lesson, I'd also like to add from Galatians 3, verse 12, in terms of understanding what Paul is talking about when he uses the word faith more clearly. Galatians 3:12, just a few verses before our text. But the law is not of faith. These are our texts. You know, sometimes it's difficult to see what ought to be obvious. You know, when we get to heaven, I don't think we're going to lose things anymore. But one of the tragedies of life here on this earth is not only do we lose things, but we lose things in the most obvious of places. For instance, as I look out over the congregation today, a number of you have glasses on. If you ever went looking for your glasses and they were on top of your head, raise your hand. They're on top of your head! And you're wandering around your house looking for them. If you've ever searched the house for your keys, and they were either, for women usually, still in your purse, or generally for men, in the pants that you wore yesterday, raise your hand. And with this one, I can name names for everything I'm going to tell you. So if you began to leave your house and ask yourself the question, where did I put that cup of coffee? Or where was my Bible? Or where was my cell phone? Check the top of your car. They're probably right there. How many of you have done that? Sometimes we lose things in the most obvious of places. This is not just a problem with objects. It's a spiritual problem as well. You see, sometimes the things that God wants us to remember the most, and things that He has made obvious to us, we don't look for, even when we desperately need them. God sort of mentioned that in our Old Testament reading for today. He says, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I, here am I. To a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day long to rebellious people. God is not hidden. He's made Himself obvious. But just like so many objects in our life, God is often lost in exactly the place where He said He can be found. Where do you look for God? In the gospel. In the faith that He has revealed to us in Holy Scripture. But we have to be a little careful about how we understand this word of faith. And that's why I love what Paul says in Galatians today, both in the scripture verse in our epistle reading and a little bit earlier in Galatians 3, verse 12. Faith is not the law. You can have law in your life, God's law, as a matter of fact, without having faith. Jewish people are not Christians. They don't have faith in Christ. Muslims are not Christians. They don't have faith in Christ. But if you ask them what the law of God is, they could quote you, generally speaking, the Ten Commandments. Many of their laws are the same that we as Christians hold dear. But that's not what faith is. Where God seeks to be found is in the gospel that He has revealed to us. where he seeks to be found is in the Word that became flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet so often in our lives, when we're looking for solutions to the problems of life, that's not where we look. You know, probably 1,000 times I've illustrated this to you with one particular question. And you're very good at this now. You know the answer. So if I ask you the question, why should a Christian not steal? The proper answer is, God will provide. Wonderful. You all answered correctly, at least everybody that I heard. But as I've asked you to do before, and I don't know how many of you have done it, go ask another Christian who doesn't come to this church that same question. What answer will you get? You'll get not something rooted in the promises and the grace and the gifts of God, which is the gospel, the good news. You'll get an answer that's rooted in the law, something like, well, God tells us we shouldn't. It's breaking one of God's commands. It's not nice. You know, thousands of other different ways of saying it, but always rooted in the law and not in the place where God says he wants to be found, that is, in the gospel. Go ask a person this question, by contrast. If you just won a $1 billion lottery, would you want to rob a bank? The answer you'll get is no. And then if you ask them why, you know what people tell you, and I've actually tried this out before. Why would I rob a bank? I have everything I need. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, I take care of them. Look at the lilies of the field, how I clothe them. And you all know those scripture verses. Why should a Christian not steal? Well, because God is going to provide. You kind of got that one down. But it doesn't stop there. It's with all the questions, the problems, the troubles that we face in life. You know, the law is good. It helps us diagnose what is wrong in our life. But the law doesn't cure. The law doesn't give us what we need to overcome sin in our day-to-day life. It tells us what we should do, but it doesn't tell us why we should do it. Those answers are from the gospel. And yet, in our own lives, we keep on going back, not to the gospel seeking for answers, but to the law. When troubles or problems come our way, our prayers might begin something like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? That's a law question. The question you ought to be asking God is, Lord, what have you done to help with the issues that I am facing in my life? To give perhaps another obvious answer or example, you go into the hospital room of somebody that just found out they have a terminal illness and they're about to die. You say to them, well, you're not supposed to be afraid to die. Is that a correct scriptural statement? Yes. Then you leave the room and think you've done your job. No. You've told them what they don't need to do, be afraid. You haven't given them the power to do it. The good news that Jesus Christ has paid for our sins so that we will not face judgment when we stand before God. The good news that he died and rose again and has given unto us the gift of eternal life. Yeah, we're not supposed to be afraid to die, but if you leave the gospel out, how do you accomplish that? And what's true in those obvious examples that I'm giving you is true for all the problems and troubles in life. The law diagnoses, but it is the gospel that repairs. The law tells us what's wrong in our life. The gospel gives us the power to do what is right. This is how we not only need to think within our own lives, this is how we need to address other people in life. If you've ever had somebody come to you and say, "What do you think I should do?" raise your hand. Chances are, when somebody did that, well, maybe you were kind of wishy-washy and said, "Well, you know, let's think about that for a little bit." And talk to them about what they should do. But they asked you a law question. What should I do? And the right response is not more law, but the gospel. You know, some people think that evangelism is really complex. You know, that, you know, if you're going to talk to somebody about the Jesus, you have to have, you know, that creed we did last week, the Athanasian one, when it takes a half hour to say. That, you know, you have to be able to, like, quote the Athanasian creed if you're going to witness to somebody. No, it's not that hard. Somebody asks you, "What do you think I should do?" Instead of telling them what they should do, first say, you know, first, before I do that, let's talk about what God has done to help you in your situation. I can see you're really worried. You don't need to be. And then tell them why not. I can see you feel really guilty. You don't need to be. Tell them why not. I can see you're really afraid. You don't need to be. Then tell them why not. And then maybe talk about what they should do. But you see, now you've given them the power to do it. Going back in Galatians, a few verses before, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So then, getting back to the beginning of our epistle lesson, so then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. We live by faith. The law is good. The law doesn't change lives. What should I do? It's a constant question in our own life. And it's the kind of question you will receive from others multiple times in your life. What should I do? God has an answer. But it's not rooted in what you do. It's rooted in what he has done. And he sent his son of Jesus into this world to tell us that no matter what issues we face in life, look to him to solve your problems. We sort of know that. But it's like those glasses. It's like those keys. It's that going out to the car and you put something in a very obvious place. And then you forget to look there. No matter what issues you're facing or when somebody comes talking to you needing help, don't start by asking what you should do. Don't start by telling them what they should do. Start where God tells you to start, by looking at what he has done. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.